with the ladies who were making stuff for the wedding, and I printed it on cardstock. So it's got to be good, right? Does that mean something? Turn in the Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6, where we are studying in the Sermon on the Mountain. A short passage today, Matthew chapter 6, and go to verse 19, and we'll read there in just a few moments. One of my favorite rooms in all the world is in the British Library in London. And in the library there, they have the most amazing documents. They have one of the oldest copies of the Bible from like the, I want to say 4th century or thereabouts, that was sitting in a monastery at Mount Sinai for centuries before the British took it into their care. They've taken a lot of things into their care. There's also in that room two of the original 13 copies of the Magna Carta that were written. That was sort of the first glimmers in the English-speaking world of personal rights and democracy, that sort of thing. It started there. There's also a handwritten, the original handwritten manuscript of Alice in Wonderland with the illustrations that the author made. And if you keep going down that row, there's a single sheet of paper with the lyrics, the first writing lyrics of Paul McCartney's song Yesterday. So they've got all kinds of good things there. Now, in the ancient world, there was a library at the Egyptian city of Alexandria, which is on the west side of the Nile Delta, there on the Mediterranean shore. And part of that library was burned when Julius Caesar was trying to escape those who were pursuing him when there was a civil war in the Roman Empire. And then the library sort of went into disrepair. But that was the culmination of all knowledge in the ancient world. Last week, we remembered 9/11. One of the things that happened when those buildings were destroyed that we don't talk much about because our focus is rightly on the people who lost their lives in that attack, but there were also things stored in the World Trade Center towers that people kept there for safekeeping. There were negatives of some pictures of JFK. There was one of the original casts that Rodin made his statue, The Thinker, from. Those were all destroyed in those attacks, that destruction. A few years later, in 2008, Universal Studios had a big fire at their safekeeping place, and many of the original recordings that were done by popular musicians from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s were destroyed in that fire. We're on a never-ending search for a safe, secure place, for permanent security. It's something that keeps us up at night. How do I preserve photographs, documents? Well, what if my computer crashes? Well, it's all safe now because I put it on the cloud. What if their computer crashes? Our social security number, all of our identity documents, our bank account numbers and documents. Now, the old way of doing things was to build bigger and bigger vaults. Banks built big vaults. We have safe deposit boxes. Fort Knox, supposedly where all the gold reserve is, or was. I don't know if it still exists or whatever. And now we go into the cyber world. We build these statistical black holes where it would be impossible to figure this new thing out. We have random password generators. We have blockchain currency, blockchain coin bit currency, which I read about, and I think I understood it for about 4 seconds, and then it all disappeared, and I still don't know what it is. But the bottom line is everything is hackable. You can get into anything. So what is it? How do I keep things? How do I have things, protect things? Well, we try to get money. Money is pretty good. You know, if you've got money, you can do anything pretty much anywhere on the planet. You just take one of those little green papers that's got one of our presidents on it, and you can exchange it for stuff just about anywhere you go. That's pretty good. But very, very small percentage of financial transactions are with cash, like 0.000, you know, something. It's not much. It all happens as numbers on a computer screen, which can go away. But money allows us to do things. It allows us to reproduce things that we like, things that are pleasant and lovely to us. If we have enough money, we can do that again. And so that's part of the reason we like to have money. And another thing we can do with money is we can keep unpleasant things away from us, sometimes in the form of certain people we don't want to be around. So we shop at different stores. We'd rather pay a little more not to be with the audience at that store. That's what we do with money. What has to be in order for you and I to feel like we have everything we need, to feel peaceful and secure? Can we have it all? That's a good question. And Jesus knows this about us. He knows that we stay up nights thinking about these things. And so he talks about it in this text. And he tells us that our search for peace and security begins with God. So let's go to our text that you opened up. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth." Now let me just stop there for a second. The word store up and the word treasures is the same word. Just one is in the verb form and one's in the noun form. So I invented a word to sort of match it so you can see. And it's really like a command. So it's more like stop and treasuring for yourselves treasures on earth. And you'd recognize the word. It's the word we get. Treasure is the word we get thesaurus from, a treasury of words. Do not and treasure for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, or literally make invisible, make them go away, and where thieves break in and steal. Rather, and treasure or store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, he shifts gears a little bit. He moves from our heart to our eyes as a metaphor. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, we're not sure exactly what it means when he says the eye is good. So we have to watch the context as we go to see if we get a clue here. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, that is to say evil, your body will be full of darkness. It's not about your personal health and your physical eyes. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or will stick by one and look down on the other. You cannot serve God and money. So how can I have it all? Let me suggest three things, since Jesus has kind of talked to us about three things. First of all, if you want it all, I'm defining all to mean all that you can take with you, all that's worth having. If you want it all, first of all, save up. He says, store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Things in life that can be gotten to, can be stolen, can be eaten by moths, can be rusted out. Those things are things that we cannot take with us. And so they are the ones that the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes was talking about. You remember Kohelet, the teacher? He says, vanity or a mist. Everything is a mist. He means it's temporal. It's temporary. It's like a mist in the morning. It looks nice, but you can't quite get your hands on it. And as soon as you think you see where it is, the sun burns it off and it's gone. Most of the things we chase after in life are exactly like that. But heaven's treasures are the ones you can take with you. And that's a good thing. And so the kind of treasures you treasure, that you treasure up, that you gather up, those kind of treasures that you gather up are a reflection of the kind of heart that you have. Jesus doesn't spare us much here. Our kind of treasures is our kind of heart. Now, we tend to be creatures who follow our eyes. So they teach you in driver's education, wherever you put your eyes, that's where the car is going to go to. If you look off to the side, you're going to be over in the ditch soon. Highway patrolmen know better than to stand on the roadside of a car that they've pulled over. They'll stand on the other side because they know people, oh, look, there's a policeman. Bang, they'll run right into you. It happens all the time. And if we are trying to walk forward in a straight line, it's impossible to do that if you are always looking back. If you are looking behind you, if you are letting the past influence you every day and in every way, you can't keep going forward in a straight path. And if we're distracted, oh, look at that, look at that, we're off the road. Now, if we save money, it's often because we're looking ahead at something we want to save it for, right? And so the question becomes, what kind of eternal values are you and I saving up? Or as Foley Lagunda reminded us a few weeks ago, what is your legacy? What is your eternal legacy? Are there more people encouraged enough to step out of their comfort zone for the Lord because of what you've done? That's an eternal thing. Are there more people thinking, I can do right and good because I know what it looks like from my example? You or me? Is that what the Lord would have? Are there more people saying yes to Jesus? Are there more people doing things that they never could have imagined doing because you're helping them? Now, if the people that are doing that are your own children, let me tell you that it's not cheating. It's okay. Those people that have grown up around you, the ones that made your hair turn white, they were your disciples that the Lord gave you. And so for them, So you have a unique opportunity to help them. And that is part of your legacy. That is part of your treasure in heaven. Are there more people starting to actually live up to their social media image of being perfect and wonderful? If you help them do that, God is acting in your life. He's told you something and you're listening. So save up. Gather up those kind of treasures. Secondly, look up with good eyes that are full of light. What does that mean? I think based on the context of the two passages, that's the middle piece about the eye. And then the one before it, storing up treasures. What kind of treasures? And the one after it, what kind of master will you serve? I think it's talking about the eye's ability to focus and look at a single thing. And I think that's what it means to have good eyes full of light with a singular focus. One commenter has described this light that will fill you up as unabashedly pure behavior that ends up flowing out to others, shining out to others. We're going to be studying in Philippians after our missions conference in October. And in there it says, we shine like stars in the heavens. That's what God is looking for in us. And if we are full of darkness, it is because there is no light in us. There's no revelation. God has not been allowed to speak His word into our life if we are full of darkness. Someone has said that we are very easily self-deceived to believe that our shallow and contrived being is really deep and genuine. We can think we can become pretty taken with the sound of our own voice. Will you have darkness or light in your life? So save up and look up. Look up to the God who John says is light. He Himself is the light. Jesus said, be perfect like your heavenly Father. That is to say, be whole. Be full of Him. Be full of His light. And finally this, choose well. You and I make a lot of decisions. And sometimes, especially early on in our lives, we make decisions that affect the rest of the decisions we make. We kind of get ourselves into a lose run. And once we get going down that, it's real hard to steer. It's hard to get out of. So that's why we need good parents. That's why we need good advisors, counselors, people who love us. Choose well. Jesus says it comes to this, serve God, not money. Now, that doesn't mean, He never says to hate money, because He knows we have to live in that world. We live in the world where money is how we operate. What I find is this, is that the people who are the biggest slaves, if I can, to money are people who often have no money, but they spend all their time thinking about it and worrying about how to get it. So the thread in common with people who either have money or don't have money, the thread in common for those who love money, whether they have it or not, is that there's, you can ask them how much they need, and it's always more. There's never enough. It's continual life striving. So you might be a finance whiz, and that's okay with God. In fact, I would say you at some level are going to have to learn how to handle money. And it's going to be a reflection of your heart and who you are and what your values are. Some of the church's most inspirational examples for giving, and we had a lot of great givers, as you can see by these slides that Jeff shared with us. Some of the church's most inspirational examples for giving are actually money mavens, people that really are finance whizzes. And you find, if you hang around them, that they know how to use money. They know how to make it turn somersaults and do all kinds of things. But they don't really love it. It's just stuff. It's just how you get things done. And so we have to decide, again, like we were talking about last week, is our focus going to be where God is taking us? Can we think about eternal things when, in fact, I got to deal with today? Can we bring an eternal focus to the stuff I got to do all day today? Or do we just have to make sure it's perfect right now and we'll have to figure that heaven stuff out later? That's what Jesus is asking us. So save up. Get lots of people who are just saying, wow, I can do this because I'm looking at you, so-and-so. Save up, look up to the God of light who says, I will meet your needs, not your wants. You'll find out what you really need when you serve me. Save up, look up, and choose well. And who would I have you choose? I would have you choose the one who's speaking these words to us, the Lord Jesus. Because this was just the beginning of wisdom, these words that he was speaking. He came to do the work of his heavenly Father. He came to die on Calvary's tree. He came to be raised again from the dead so that we could have eternal life. And so he wants us to have the values that will allow us to come to that place and be in that place, to be big enough to get up the first step into that place. Not easy. Save up, look up, choose well. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for teaching us and putting your finger on what's important. Be glorified in us. Thank you for this wonderful autumn season that will be on us soon. Thank you for all the opportunities we have to be together with one another, sharing what our life is like with you on the good days and the bad days. Sharing it with one another and loving one another in this way. We ask today that anyone who has never said yes to this Jesus, that they would do so right now in their heart of hearts, that they would meet the King of Kings. They would say, yes, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to commit my life to you. I want that you would forgive my sins because of what you did on Calvary's cross, and that you would give eternal life to me based on your amazing resurrection from the dead. And Lord, to whoever would reach out to you in that way today, Lord, we thank you that you welcome them as your children. Bless us now, Lord. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
I'd like to invite you after the benediction. We have a special piano piece. We hope you'll be able to stay and enjoy with us. And as we stand, get ready to sing our closing song, I have to say that the young lad that still exists somewhere inside me just thinks this is a great closing song, because it's actually called Hallelujah, I'm Ready to Go.